Please turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. I promised you it's going to be a bit of a hot sermon tonight. And it will be. I might not swing from the ceiling tiles, but it's going to get a little bit rough, so hang in there. I'm going to preach a sermon called The Abomination of America. The Abomination of America. And I want you to listen to me. I want you to do this. After you've gotten to Leviticus 18, look at me. I want you to leave your heart and your mind open to what the Word of God says, not what you think. That's all I ask. I'm going to use the Bible and tell you what God says. You have to make your decisions from there. Okay? But I'm going to preach it as God wrote it, not as we want to pussyfoot and cowtail and believe what we want to believe. And so we're going to just jump right into this thing. We're going to read a fairly lengthy passage here. Leviticus 18, we're going to start reading in verse 6 and read through verse 17. Let's read responsively. None of you shall approach to any that is of near kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is... And then I'm going to read verses 22 through 25 very quickly here. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto or thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. And let's pray. Father, please, in the next 35, 40 minutes, would you give me clarity of mind, not for my thoughts, but for your thoughts. May I not insert my thoughts or my opinion, but may I insert what you have written for your people. Lord, you said if your people, which are called by your name, would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, turn from their wicked ways, then we would hear from you and you would heal our land. America is in need of the truth that I'll preach tonight, but our church needs it as well. Please, in Jesus' name. Now, let me say right here, I don't know that we have any problem with what I'm about to preach about. I don't inspect. There's some things I'll say tonight. I'll say them in a little tougher way. But I want you to know something. No matter what, you're welcome at Grace Baptist Church. Everybody doing okay? But I want you to listen. Our country is a mess. Amen. America is a mess. Everybody has rights except decency and God. Let's face it. People who are confused, mixed up, and evil now legislate people that are supposed to be decent and moral and right. Yes, sir. Truth and right and justice are no longer the issue. Me, mine, and getting all I want for nothing is the issue.
That's right.
Let's face it, that's where we're at in America. the sodomites, the LGBTQ community, the illegal aliens, the angry mobsters now have the loudest, most politically active voice in America, and that which is right, justice, and truth has virtually no say-so. Here's where you might get a little mad, but it's okay. People like Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Nancy Pelosi should be in jail. They shouldn't be in contention for the highest offices in America or in those offices. The news media makes news. They don't report news.
That's right. Yes, sir.
The average newscaster and news show in America today in a 30-minute program gives you about 30 seconds of news that's actual news, and the rest of it is accusation in the news media making news.
Yes, sir.
And the news media is a tool in the hand of Satan at this moment. Now, God says that the way America is today, we are an abomination to him. We are an abomination. The word abomination, by the way, that's not abomination, it's abomination. All right? The word abomination means total disgust, total abhorrence to something. God says that there are certain things that totally disgust him. And when a nation gets to the point where they totally disgust God, according to verse number 24 and 25, the Bible says that the land will defile itself, and the nations are defiled, and the land itself is defiled. Can I tell you something? The land in America today is defiled. It's filthy. It's vile. Let me tell you where we are and why we are there, and I can condense it into this next statement or two. The dress of America, or the lack thereof, and the immorality in America is the abomination of our nation.
Yes, sir.
The way people dress, or the lack of the way people dress in America today, has brought the abomination of our nation. Nakedness is rampant in our nation.
Yes, sir.
The way people dress these days and the sexual perversion, the sexual immorality of today disgusts God.
Yes.
Now, I've been preaching for 36 years. I've been in the ministry for 27 years. I never thought I would use statements like sexual in the pulpit, but I must.
Yes, sir.
We have gotten way past that. The children of today are more educated about sexual immorality than most married couples were 30 years ago.
Yes, sir.
We are teaching kindergartners how to protect themselves to have safe sex in our public schools. And we wonder why our country is the way it is. And I'm not kidding. We wonder why the sodomites have so much power and influence today. We wonder why women want to prove that they can do what a man does. Now, I don't know about you fellas, but I'm not interested in a woman that can beat me in arm wrestling.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not saying that a woman isn't as important as a man, but God made you different for a reason.
Hallelujah.
God didn't make us men to have babies. Thank God. My five favorite words in the English language. Thank God I'm a man. And I've never met a good-looking man. Praise the Lord. There's not a one of them that ever made me tingle. And if it does, take me out back and shoot me and get it over with. But let me say something here. We wonder why violence, sexual crimes, filthiness is rampant in America. And tonight I'll show you. I'm going to need this in a minute, so hang on here. I want you to notice in Leviticus 18, God talks about that we are not to see the nakedness of certain people.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Okay? And he is very specific in what he says. You can go back later and track it out yourself, but he talks about the nakedness of your mother, your dad, your sister, your grandchild, your stepdaughter, your stepdad, your stepsister, your stepbrother, your stepmom, your aunt, your uncle, your in-laws, your children's in-laws, and your grandchildren's in-laws. And then he sums it up and says, any woman. Now, God says nakedness is the abomination that leads to the sodomy and the LGBT garbage we got going on today. And he said it makes him disgusted. Now, everybody doing okay? Don't get mad at me because you're going to kill somebody in a little while here. God is not just saying to be careful of nudity in public or nakedness in public. This is where I probably am going to get really squandered here. I'm not against people having a swimming pool. But most people swim naked. You say, no, they don't. Well, most people wear less than what you would wear for underwear to swim in.
Yes.
Your definition of naked in God's is different.
That's right.
And I'm going to show you what God's definition is here. I'm not against, I know how to swim, been swimming a long time. I've taken my children swimming. Say, how do you swim? Fully clothed.
Amen.
Not naked.
Yes, sir.
I've taken them to the ocean. We've jumped in, all our clothes on, everybody looking at us like we're crazy. We were having fun. We were looking at them like they're nuts. And I hear people say this all the time. Well, it's just my own family. It's just my own children. It's just my own grandchildren. Just my own family. God said, don't look on the nakedness of your family. My daughter is 18, almost 19 years old. Thank God, since time she's been out of diapers, I haven't seen my daughter's thighs.
Amen.
I can say that truthfully. Everybody doing okay? Say why? Nakedness. I'm not supposed to look at my daughter's nakedness. Now, everybody doing okay? If God calls it an abomination to be naked with these family members, how much worse is it for us to be naked around somebody we don't know? Now, America is disgusting God in how we dress. God tells us what naked means to him. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't really mean this with a bad attitude, but it doesn't matter what your definition of nakedness is. God's definition matters. Everybody doing okay? It doesn't matter what my definition of nakedness is. God's definition of nakedness is what matters.
Yes, sir.
And I want to show you what God says. Now, you're welcome here, whether you agree with me on this or not, whether you agree with God or not. You don't have to live everything in this book to be welcome at Grace Baptist Church, but while you're here, you're going to get the truth.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
That's all I can. I can't make anybody live the truth. I can't make anybody obey, but I can tell you what the truth is.
Yes, sir. Thank
now,
you.
Isaiah chapter 47, take your Bible and turn there. Isaiah chapter 47, we're going to look at three verses, and then I'm going to rear back and fire for a little bit here. Okay, Isaiah chapter 47. And I am going to use an illustration off of the public internet media. And don't worry, it is not a live picture, so we're going to be okay. Bible says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground, there is no throne. O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Wow, listen to me. God said, this lady is going to come down and sit in a certain way. And because of the way she's dressed and because of the way she's seated, she's no longer going to be called tender or delicate. Verse 2, take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Wow. God said, when you uncover yourself and you make bare the leg, you're uncovering your nakedness. Okay? I didn't say that. God said it. Look at verse 2. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully. The definition of the thigh, I looked it up in the Hebrew. I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary of about 1880 that I have in my office. I have a two-volume set that's about that thick. I looked it up in several different places. The definition of thigh is from the bottom of the knee to the hip. You have to understand, your femur bone, which is your top, what you would call your thigh bone, stops in the middle of your knee. And it hooks to the two bones, the tibia and the fibula, in the bottom legs, and it's got the patella over top of it. So your thigh literally goes clear down to virtually the bottom of the knee. That is where the thigh technically begins. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
God said, by the way, he's not talking just to women. He's talking to everybody. I think it's just as wrong for a man to show his thigh as it is for a woman.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm helping you, ladies. Come on. I'm going to preach at the men too here. All right? But hang in there. So God says everything that uncovers the thigh, whether it be a slit, whether it be short skirt, whether it be shorts, whether it be whatever we wear, that uncovers the leg, it's nakedness. That's not my definition. God said it. Isaiah chapter 47, verses 2 and 3. Now, the word shok is the Hebrew word, which literally means the bottom of the knee to the hip. That is what the word thigh is in the Hebrew. It is the word shok. Okay? You can look it up later yourself for you Hebrew scholars. Okay? No, I didn't. I pointed at her. Now, this is a sketch drawing. I looked up on the internet, what does the world consider nakedness? What does the world... I was very cautious, very guarded, but there's an illustration, and I'm not going to use this a lot, but I want you to see something here. They have it's a drawn picture of a lady with a very, very short skirt. It is not a real picture, but it has different levels on this person's leg as it goes up. Now, about 3 inches below the knee, it says prude. About the bottom of the knee, it says old-fashioned. At the knee, it says boring. Above the knee, it says tease. About that far above the knees, it says cheeky. I'm not sure what that means. About right in the middle of the thigh, it says asking for it. And then there's two more levels, and I'm not even going to use those words. The last one is worse than prostitute. That's what the world uses. That's the world's standard. Okay? Now, again, I'm not here putting it on display for you, but I didn't put that there. You can go look at it yourself. I don't suggest you do an awful lot of research with that word because you can get yourself in a lot of areas you shouldn't go.
Yes.
But listen to me very carefully. Even the world says when your knee's covered up, you're prudish and boring. Old-fashioned. You start getting sensual the moment you expose the knee. Everybody doing all right? Now, I'm going to make another statement here. The word shok means more than just thigh. The word shok also means shoulder. God says your shoulders are supposed to be covered. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
It's in reference to an animal as well as a human being. And the shoulder is supposed to be covered. That means from our shoulders to the bottom of our knees, we're supposed to stay covered.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if you tear it with scissors and expose little holes here and there. You play snowflake with your tops and have holes cut out everywhere. It doesn't matter if you looks like you ran them through the weed eater and had a fight with the weed eater and lost and you put them on and there's holes there. It doesn't matter. God said we're supposed to be covered from our shoulders to the bottom of our knees.
Yes, sir.
That is God's definition of nakedness or coveredness. Now, I want you to notice that sodomy is attached to the nakedness. In the same chapter, God's talking about not uncovering the nakedness of thy father, thy mother, thy child, thy stepchild, your stepmom, your stepdad, your aunt, your uncle, your son-in-law, your daughter-in-law, all these other different relationships, your cousins, and all these other relationships. God attaches sodomy with the same group of things going on. Now, sodomy is the sexual perversion and the exploitation of the day that is linked to how we dress today. Sodomy is more than homosexuality. The word sodomy is a more vile word than just homosexuality. You'll notice in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 23 to 25, it talks about people having a physical relationship with animals. You say, preacher, that's disgusting. Yep. Look up the statistics. 5% of all adults in America claim to have physical relationships with animals. Out of 330 million people, you do the math of how many hundreds of thousands and possibly millions of people that is. When I use the term sodomite, it's bigger than just homosexual. There is a lot of perversion out there. Our country is vile and sick. A lot of your PETA people and your animal rights lovers, they're literal animal lovers. Just so you know. They use their terminology carefully. Everybody doing okay? Now, I'm going to use something that is popular in our culture from somebody that is running from office. But the female in the pantsuit running for president is proof of this. Do you know who the first lady to be found in public in pants was? Pat Nixon. In the 1970s. The only president's wife to be on a presidential portrait in pants is Hillary Clinton. Did you know that until 1993, no lady from the House of Representatives or the Senate could be on the House or Senate floor in pants? It was under Bill Clinton that rule got changed so that Hillary could go there. You'll never see Hillary Clinton in a skirt. She will not wear one. She calls herself the woman in the pantsuit. Everybody doing okay? I'm not giving you what I say. Look what she has said. Now, God relates dress and the degradation of sodomy together. Sodomy is not just homosexuality. It involves bestiality or they use now, they've tried to make them feel better. They call them zoology or something or other. It has to do with zoos. Well, when you teach children for five generations that they came from monkeys, why would it be wrong? Everybody doing okay? Now, let me share some thoughts with you. I've got about 15, 20 minutes, and I've got more material than 3 hours could handle. Number one, nakedness is wrong for both men and ladies. Yes, sir. Nakedness is wrong for both men and ladies. Can I tell you something? Stay covered from your shoulders to the bottom of your knees.
Yes, sir.
I'm just telling you. Don't sit around the house with your children and your grandchildren in your shorts and your t-shirt. Or your tank top. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
They don't need to see your fuzzy old belly sticking out there. They don't need to see your hairy legs. You laugh at me ruling my house with my own children. They didn't come to the table, and they didn't sit around the house in a t-shirt. And I'm talking about an undershirt. Just a plain white undershirt. Say why? It's underwear. I didn't want them wearing their underwear running around the house. My boys would say, what's the difference between this and the one that's got color on it? Because it's not your undershirt. You don't wear that as an undershirt. Your undershirt, your underwear. I don't care whether you agree with me or not. When you get old enough to have your own house, do what you want. But not sitting at my table in your underwear.
Amen.
They got tired of that. Guess what? They do it now on their own. Did you know that your chest, your belly, and your shoulders aren't supposed to be seen by everybody? I don't wear a tie and a long sleeve shirt and my dress pants to bed. But you're not going to find out what I wear there either. You come to my house, I'm not sitting there in my PJs talking to you. Okay? And I think you ought to be covered. I don't think that you ought to let your kids run around the house in their night clothes. Everybody doing okay? Man, am I going to get in trouble. Did you know that your knees and your thighs aren't supposed to be seen? And by the way, let me just say it right here. I looked up the Berkeley County school dress code. I'm just using Berkeley County. I'm going to read it to you just because I don't want you to think that I'm lying. And I will read it to you. That's not the right one. Hang on here. There it is. Clothing. Cover the entire back and midriff area at all times. Cover the top of the shoulders with a minimum of a 2-inch wide straps, not to be see-through. Fit modestly, so that cleavage area is covered. Cover undergarments. Cover spaghetti straps and halters with button-up shirt. Have no cut-out areas. Muscle shirts and tank tops are considered undergarments and must have a shirt over them or under them. Shorts, skirts, skorts, whatever that is, and dresses must be worn in such a manner as to cover the mid-thigh when sitting down. Be at least long enough to meet the tip of the student's longest finger when the student is in standing with arms down at their sides, and slits must conform to the above. That means this. A girl's skirt in Berkeley County Schools only has to come that far. You also read in their dress code that this does not apply to the cheerleaders, that theirs is allowed to be 3 inches shorter. According to the world standards, not my standards, but the world's, that means this. According to their little chart, every one of the girls' skirts means they're asking for it. That's the world standard. That's not what I said. And we wonder why. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I didn't publish that. That's worldly publication. That's not my dress code. That's Berkeley County. I read it from their code book. Okay? My dress standard's a whole lot better than that. Trust me. Now, I'm not even going to use the word or words that the cheerleading outfits in the public schools, according to the public schools and according to the public little chart there, what that word is. But Brother Stoltz, that's the word used. I'd have got my mouth washed out with soap for saying that word. I won't even say it to you. You say, why? But that's what we put as the standard for our children in public schools and cheerleading. And by the way, we wonder why we have adults running around preying on children because of the nakedness of our kids. Everybody doing okay? And may I say this, men, you ought not be running around naked either. We live in a filthy country. I don't think you ought to work that way. Don't think you ought to swim that way. Don't think you ought to run around the house that way.
Amen.
Cover yourselves up.
That's right.
Okay, number two. The moral fiber of America has been destroyed by our dress.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that men and women are supposed to dress differently?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
I know that's a shock. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, just a few pages over from where you were. Deuteronomy chapter 22, I'm going to read verse 5 because I got to hurry. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are, what's the next word? An abomination unto the Lord thy God. Wow. That means there's supposed to be difference in dress. You say, well, there's men's pants and there's women's pants. No, there's not. There's pants and there's skirts. Everybody doing okay? Now, pants on women is part of the unisex movement of the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Women wearing breeches did not come into being in popularity until the 1940s during World War II. What happened is our men went off to war. The ladies had to go to the shops and start working. Literally, they took their men's clothes that were at war. They converted the pants to fit them well enough to do the job that their husbands were doing. When the husband came home from war, they enjoyed their freedom so much, they kept the pants on, kept the jobs, and made their men do other work. Do the research. Well, there's just certain work you can't do in a skirt. Well, my grandmother did farm work in them. She ran tractors, baled hay, picked corn, you name it. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Ladies in modest skirts and dresses will be treated better than a woman in breeches.
That's right.
I'll promise you. Yes. I'm going to make a statement to you. I'll make some statements. I have to be brash. Did you know a lady wearing a modest skirt, a man will look at your face and not the rest of you? You know, if you're wearing a modest skirt, man's more apt to hold the door for you than if you're wearing breeches.
Yes.
Yep. Yes, sir. That's right.
I'm talking about grimy old worldly men.
Yes, sir.
They'll say, hold it, hold it, hold it. Let me get that for you. And a woman wearing breeches coming in behind you, he'll let it slam in her face. I've watched it happen over and over and over again.
That's right.
Yeah. A man's less apt to check you out if you're wearing a skirt that's the right kind of skirt. He's not going to do this to you. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Men naturally want to treat a lady that is femininely dressed more like a lady.
That's right.
Yes, it's just in a man to do that.
Amen.
And I'm going to make a statement. Masculine females are the ones that are going to give you ladies the trouble with the way you dress.
Yes, sir.
What are you wearing skirts all the time for? It's the ones that don't act like a lady is supposed to act. It's the one that's going to give you a bad attitude about it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Man, I'm having fun right now. You know, this is where I'm headed with this. You might not like this next statement, but listen to the logic and you'll understand it. Men are so used to seeing women in pants that it's no wonder they began to dabble in sodomy. They got used to looking at a woman's shape that it got their attention so much. And once they've had that attention so much, why should it be any different for a man that's walking in front of him? And we have brought down and degraded and abominated the relationship between a man and a woman by the way we dress. Back in the 1980s, you had Dennis Rodman, played for the Chicago Bulls, that used to wear women's clothes. Everybody thought he was just a showman. No, he was a sodomite. Magic Johnson. Everybody doing okay? He's dying of AIDS. He's a sodomite. Okay. Now, Hollywood has tried to make all men look like bumbling idiots since the 1960s and 70s. If you go back prior to the 1960s, you'll find out men were men in TV shows. John Wayne, amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Jimmy Stewart,
yeah. Yes,
and others.
About the late 1960s, early 1970s, all the TV shows in Hollywood started making men look stupid and the women being able to overrule them and override them. And now the average man in a television show from Hollywood today is a bumbling, no good, good for nothing, tweet, jerk, geek, idiot. Can't do anything. Just look at it. They've done everything they can to destroy manhood in America for the women to have their rights. And we wonder why so many people are sodomites. Everybody doing okay?
We've come a long way of Desi Arnaz and Lucy having to sleep in separate beds on television to where we are today.
Yes, sir.
1940s and 50s, you couldn't show a bedroom scene. Even if the couple was married, they couldn't be in the same bed together. They had twin beds, separated with a nightstand. Look where we're at today. You have on public television shows, and I won't even list the names of them. You have television shows of making, they've made millions and millions of dollars of people, people going out into wilderness areas in groups and living naked for 30 days to see if they can survive. That's stupid. And that's just the beginning of it. Now, I got to hurry. Point number three. You can't take much more. The Christian's body is the temple of God. If you are a saved person, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the living God? Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God's. Can I tell you something? If you're a saved person, you're supposed to cover God's temple the way God wants his temple covered. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 says that... Well, take your Bible real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Ooh, I really have more material than I have time to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read the first four verses. You catch up with me. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's talking about your body, were dissolved... We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's your spirit. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that which mortality might be swallowed up of life. Hey, it's going to take a little bit of work. You're going to groan about covering yourself all the time. But God says it's God's tabernacle covered up.
Amen.
Would you clothe God's body the way you clothe yours? Would you respect God if he dressed the way you do? Everybody doing all right? From the very first sin, dress has become an issue. Man tried to cover himself with leaves. He made an apron. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, it says that they made an apron out of leaves. Do you know what an apron covers? Not much. It'll cover the front of you down to about mid-thigh. And that's it. Do you know what God covered them with? It said he made them coats. There's a difference between a coat and an apron. Yes. Not a jacket, a coat. A coat covers from the bottom of your knees. My trench coat covers from about the middle of my calf all the way up to my neck. God made a coat to cover man and woman. They made an apron. We've had a disagreement with God over what to cover ourselves with ever since. When the Apostle Peter and the disciples were out fishing on the boat after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected and they saw him on the land, he said, cast your net on the other side. They cast it, got all the fish. They fished all night, didn't get anything. Then Jesus performed the miracle. They said, it's the Lord. The Bible says that Peter grabbed his fisher's coat, put it on him because he was naked. Now, I hate to tell you something, but you don't go fishing out on the water with the sun on the water buck naked. You're going to be burned in spots that you don't want to be burned.
Yes, sir.
He had his tunic on. A tunic was like a long t-shirt. He had his underclothing on. But he didn't want to be seen in just his underclothing. He put his fisher's coat on and swam back to see the Lord because he considered himself naked. He had something on. He wasn't fishing out there in the buff. Okay, everybody doing all right? I'm sorry I have to be so bold, but sometimes we think things just because of the way society has taught us. That word naked means he was out there with no clothes on. No, God said nakedness is uncovering the thigh. Now, you're welcome here, no matter how you dress. I would ask this. Ladies, keep yourselves covered. Hollywood styles today is how low can you cut your shirt clear down below your belly button and not show any more than is legally allowed to be shown. And it's sick and it's disgusting.
That's right.
Cover it up. As a preacher friend of mine used to say, if it ain't for sale, don't put a for sale sign in the window. We dress, and our dress has been the degradation and the abomination of our country. We wonder why our country is such an immoral, nasty place. Can I tell you why? You go back 50 years or 60 years in how we dressed, and we didn't have this problem, did we? 1972, when I started in kindergarten in the public school system in Canton, Ohio, I wasn't even allowed to wear blue jeans to school. I had to wear material that was not denim to school.
Yes, sir.
That was public school, not Christian school. Mrs. Eggensweiler in first grade, she was as big as her name. That woman was as white as my pulpit. Sweet little old lady. White-haired old, little old lady. She read the Bible. She prayed. We did the Pledge of Allegiance as a school, and everybody stood up and covered their heart and said the pledge. They didn't sit on the sidelines like the stupid quarterback from the San Francisco 49ers complaining and saying that he won't stand for the national anthem because this country pays people to persecute black people called police. There's your sports heroes, fellas. Back in those days, there were dress codes. You couldn't wear shorts to school. Thank God. And that was the public schools. God says the way we dress makes a nation abominable. I didn't say it. God did. And not just public. How you dress at home. How you dress around your family. It's just as important. I thank God my children haven't seen my wife and I running around the house in our underwear. Tell you why, because we don't.
That's right.
My children will tell you, they grew up right.
Yes, sir.
Now, we did a lot of things. I'm not perfect. Trust me, I did a lot of things the wrong way. But there are a few things I did right. The day my son married my daughter-in-law was the first day she hugged me. Right before she got married, she said, "Dad, is today the day I get to hug you?" I said, "Sure is." But she didn't walk up and just put her arms around me. She hugged me from the side. And every time I've hugged her, I've hugged her from the side. You say, "Why?" That's my son's wife, not my wife.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? I thank God for that. I do. We have dressed ourselves into immorality. We have dressed ourselves into an abomination, and our land is abominable to God. Matter of fact, according to Leviticus chapter 18, listen to what God says. "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and their land is defiled. Therefore do I visit iniquity thereupon, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." You look at what's happening in America today. The land and the nation is vomiting out. Our rivers are polluted. Our land is polluted. Our air is polluted. Can I tell you why? Because our moral fiber is polluted. People don't care. We're going around shooting and killing everybody. You got people can't even walk down the street without getting shot innocently. The strictest gun laws in America are in Chicago, and a lady was shot and killed walking her daughter in a stroller this week. Where's Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson now? Rahm Emanuel was on President Obama's cabinet, went there to take care of things in Chicago, and it's gotten worse, not better. Everybody doing okay? Our land is abominable. I feel sorry for you ladies. But may I say this? The more you dress like a lady, the more men will treat you like a lady. I don't care how rough and tough they are.
Yes, sir.
I don't.
That's right.
They will respect you. They will treat you better than some woman out there grinding in the dirt with them, working on the side of the road in the asphalt. 30 years ago, you didn't see a woman construction worker. She wasn't out there putting tar down on the road and working a jackhammer. She wasn't even out there holding the sign saying stop or slow. Everybody doing okay? Well, you just don't like women. No, I love women enough to make sure they stay like a lady. I think it's a man's job. We got a bunch of mamby-pamby little sissy-britches men in America today because they've listened to Hollywood for the last 40 years. I'm done. It's my obligation to tell you what God said. It's your obligation to obey. I can just tell you what God says. It's up to you. But I will say this. As long as I'm pastor of this church, I'm going to ask the ladies that hold positions in our church to dress right. I think it's the right thing to do. If you're going to work in the nursery, teach Sunday school, work bus routes, I think it's the right thing for you to do. If you're working on God's staff and representing God, I think you ought to dress by his dress code.
Amen.
I won't be unkind to you. And if you say, preacher, I can't do that, that's fine. I'll find another area for you to serve that won't be as public. But I think it's the right thing for us to do because that's the way God asked us to dress. I'm not mad at you. I'd rather have you step up and see how good it really is. They're not my rules. They're God's. This is God's house and God's work. We ought to dress the way God wants us to dress at his house doing his work.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It doesn't mean you're not welcome here. I'm here for you. I'm not against you. I couldn't tell you what one person in this room is wearing tonight because I haven't looked. I don't know if I've got any ladies in pants or if every one of you is wearing, well, I know one of it's not. It won't be my wife. But I don't pay attention to it. But if you're going to work in the ministry here, I'm going to ask you to step up and promise to live the way God wants you to live. That's all.
Amen.
Am I unreasonable? You can call it unreasonable, but it's his work, not ours. And that's what it's there for.
Amen.
I'm just obligated to tell you what God says. You have to answer to God for how you're living. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. A little foreign to our country today. But may I say this? I promise you a better relationship with your God if you're dressing right. Same thing with you men. You know, if the preacher showed up wearing his wife's dress today, we'd have had a problem. So what's the difference between that and a woman wearing a man's clothes? We ought to think about how we dress